So children of God, we walk by the leading of the Spirit. And the leading of the Spirit, you follow it one step at a time. God doesn't show you the details of everything, how you want things to be. God will only reveal to us what we need to do one step at a time.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now, I want us to stand and read Revelation 4 verse 7. Last week, I was in Chatama, in Chipata. But I trust you had a good time with Brother Mansa who was here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, always remember, when children of God gather, God has something to give you, to eat. God never leaves his children hungry. So as you've come here, forget about your neighbor. Think about yourself. Whatever is spoken is for you. Yeah? Don't think it's for another person. It's for you. So let us read Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, may you bless the word that we've just read. May you open our minds to be able to understand what you desire of us to understand. Lord, add your blessing to the speaker and to the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, what we read in Revelation chapter 4, John sees a vision, as we all know. In that vision, he saw one sitting on the throne. Surrounding that throne were how many beasts?
Four.
Now, although we read this in Revelation 4, I want you to know that the story begins in in Genesis. Let us go to Genesis. That is where the story begins, of the throne of God being surrounded by four beasts. So when you read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22 to 24, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So we read about the tree of life. We know the tree of life is the word of life. And man sinned, and God put a protection around the tree of life. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims. Those are angels, the cherubims. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So God put cherubims to guard the tree of life. How are these cherubims looking like? Now remember, they were guarding, they were protecting the tree of life, which is the word of God. Now, let us go to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, we read about the presence of God being guarded by four living creatures, the cherubims. How were these four living creatures looking like? Let us go to Ezekiel. I believe it is chapter 1. Wherever you see the presence of God, you see the cherubims protecting and guarding that presence of God. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 4. And I looked, And behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst, therefore, came the likeness of four living creatures. Four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Now, when you read in Genesis, all you are told was the cherubims were protecting the tree of life. But other prophets saw something, and they are giving us more details of how the cherubims were looking like. Okay? The likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. In Genesis, Moses doesn't tell us about their appearance. He only says the cherubims were guarding the tree of life. But Ezekiel tells us this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Did you see that? The six, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. The feet looked like calves or ox. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went, everyone, straight forward. So these creatures, they didn't turn when they are walking. Now remember, they are guarding and protecting the presence of God. When they are walking, if they want to turn, they don't turn like this. They'll move this way like this. They don't turn their heads because they have eyes everywhere. Now, whatever they are protecting. Now, you see, if you have a security man, if a security man is in the north part of the building, it means he is not on the south. That's how limited our man-made security is. We can't be in every place everywhere. That is why we put security camera, because our eyes are limited. But around the tree of life, there is total 100% security. These creatures don't turn around. Why? They've got eyes at the back. They've got eyes on the side. Now, these are figures. These are symbols. It shows whatever God protects, it's completely protected. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 10, as the likeness of their faces, therefore had the face of a man and the face of a lion. On the right side, they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. You see what Ezekiel says? He says, each creature had the face, it had four faces. A man, an ox, an eagle, and what's the other one? There's an ox, there's an eagle, there's a man, and there's what? And a lion. Full security. Now, in Chatama, I started the message. We titled the message, Four Attributes of Character That Guards or That Protects the Tree of Life in a Believer. I didn't finish that message in Chatama, but I'll finish it here. The tree of life is guarded by these four things. The face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man. Okay? I want to speak about the face of a man. We're not speaking about church history. We're speaking about you as a believer, as an individual. God has planted his word in you, and the word has to grow like a tree. But that tree needs protection. The word of God in you needs protection. You see, back at home, we have a tree of apples. We planted apples and it grew. It's a big tree now, and it started producing fruits. And when people in the neighborhood were seeing, oh, everyone gets excited, they say, that house where there is a tree of apples. One day we found a man, and he says, ah, mupitire panjira paja, paja palima apples. So now people call our place, that place where there are apples. And one morning I woke up, I saw big apples. And I said, wow, this looks beautiful. And I told my wife, I said, hey, did you see how many apples are filling our tree? There are so many apples. And we were all excited at home, saying, We will eat these apples one day. But you know what happened is, after some time, this day I came, I said, let me eat these apples. I noticed they were getting eaten up. Some of them started looking bad. They were looking black. Insects started eating them. I don't know whether birds eat them. I was wondering, well, what is spoiling our apples? All of them were getting eaten instead of us who planted it to enjoy the fruit. It was insects which were eating them. Oh, the next day, my wife called a man who sprays chemicals. You know, these things they spray on plants to kill the insects, right? Now, see, we planted the tree. It produced fruit, but we didn't enjoy the fruit. You know the reason why? It was getting eaten up by insects. When you read the book of Joel, the Bible says the caterpillar destroys plants. The canker worm destroys plants. Instead of you enjoying the fruit, what happens? The time you want to eat, the fruit is destroyed.
Amen.
The testimony is destroyed. So when God plants his word inside our lives, that's not the end of the story. You must protect and guard that word. Now, four things. You need four things in your life, in your character, to protect the word which God has planted in you. There are many believers who started the race well. Later on, they took a tumble. They fell. Does it mean the word they received was wrong? No. It was a good apple tree we had. It produced nice fruits. Before we could eat, we realized we haven't protected our tree. There was no protection. The tree was there. There was no protection. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Ananias and Sapphira, did they hear the true word? Yes. That is why they were coming to where Peter was, where the apostles were. Something happened in their hearts which wanted to hear the word. Why are you here this morning? Because you enjoy the word.
Amen.
You see that? Why have we driven, how many kilometers is it, brother?
186.
186 kilometers. Why have we driven all the 186 kilometers coming here? Why? We love the word.
Amen.
But the word needs protection. Jesus said the sower went to sow seed. The seed was what? Was the word of God, right? But do you know that some of the seed was taken out by the birds? Some of the seed was choked, right? It couldn't grow because it was thrown on the thorns. The seed needs protection. Now, one of the things that protect the tree of life which is growing in you, the word of God in you, one of the security men is the face of a man. Now, I'll send the recording of the message we preached in Chatama so that you hear about the lion. You hear about the other things, but I want to speak about the face of a man. And what we're speaking here, different believers in different places will be hearing and listening. So others have been asking, oh, we need to hear about the other thing. Now, the other thing, I'm speaking it here. So we are gathered here, but there are many believers gathered with us.
Amen.
That is why I'm wearing this. Now, I want to mention this sense. God has blessed us with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God in us enables us to stand. Even when troubles come upon us, it makes us to stand. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes and we see and we're able to understand the deep things of God. However, I want us to be aware that it is God who made your body. It is God who gave you the brain inside. When you hear that, oh, doctors are able to do this and that, scientists are able to do this and that, that is not very surprising. Always remember, no matter how big and great a scientist can discover a thing, a scientist makes an aeroplane, a scientist makes a car. Do you know who is the greater scientist? It is the one who put that brain inside that scientist. He's greater. So whatever man can make, you need to fear the one who made man.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
If a scientist discovers something to say, oh, actually, light is made up of seven colors. It's not a scientist who has made the seven colors. It is God who made that light. A scientist has only discovered what the greater scientist put in nature.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Amen.
So whatever you are, always remember God is your maker.
Amen.
God is your creator. And it is God who gave man wisdom.
Amen.
Now, God has put the word of God in you. And that word needs to grow. It needs to manifest. It needs to bring blessings in your life. However, it needs to be protected. One thing which needs to guard that word is the face of a man. There is a man in you. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but you need to know also there is a man in you. And it's God who put that manship, that humanity in you. God created Adam as a spirit, but he didn't leave his spirit in that state. He knew that this man has to be put on earth. For him to work and walk on earth, he needs an earthly suit, the body. That is why God formed man of the dust of the ground. Why? It was in the plan of God for man to relate with this physical world. So we want to speak how humanity in you is important. How the wisdom of man, the face of a man, is important in you. Now remember, there was a lion. A lion is an animal. It's great. It's powerful. But it's never wiser than a man. An elephant. An elephant is great. It's big. But you know that a man can be small in stature of a body, but a man has power to domesticate an elephant and keep it in a cage.
Amen.
What makes that?
Yeah.
Man is made in the image and likeness of God. Man has a higher level of wisdom than animals. So there was a lion, there was an ox, there was an eagle, but there was also the face of a man. Now, when you read Ezekiel, he mentions a man first. He doesn't mention a lion. John, in the book of Revelation chapter 4, when he describes what he saw in heaven, he started with a lion. Did you notice that? John, when he describes what he saw in the book of Revelation, he begins with, he saw the face of a lion. Let us read in Revelation. Don't close Ezekiel, but you go to Revelation. Go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 7. Revelation 4, verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion. Now, there is an order in which John describes what he sees. Do you realize what John sees is what Ezekiel is seeing? But there are certain details Ezekiel mentions which John does not mention. Because what God is showing John is a different message from what he's showing Ezekiel. When God wants to speak to you, he will mention what you need to hear. What you don't need to hear, he will leave out those details. So when you look at Ezekiel, Ezekiel explained certain details you don't see in John. What God reveals to John is different. The message is similar, but the details are different. When you look at John, he says the first beast was like a lion. Because what John is seeing is God's protection upon the church through history. It started on the day of Pentecost. There was an Antichrist spirit, and it was a lion apostolic ministry which protected what the church had. John sees the protection of God on the church through history. Ezekiel, he describes those living creatures in terms of prominence. Ezekiel begins with the face of a man because man is wiser than all the other forms of creatures. Man is wiser than a lion. Is greater than a lion. Man is greater than an ox. Man is greater than all these others. And that is the order Ezekiel uses in this prophetic vision. The wisdom of man is higher than all the other kind of animals. Now, these features of an animal speaks about characteristics. There's a characteristic of a lion. There's a characteristic of an ox. There's a characteristic of all these things. But the greatest above all is the characteristic of wisdom, which is represented by the face of a man. Solomon says, above all things, seek wisdom. Seek understanding. You see, God can anoint you. with a lion spirit, with boldness. But if you don't have wisdom, all the other virtues will collapse. You will fail to keep and to maintain the blessing God has given you. Now, I'm speaking to all of us, including myself. Amen?
Amen.
God has given you a blessing. You see, you can give 10,000 kwacha in the hands of two people. Right? You say, hey, Mawina, it's 10,000 kwacha, you've won it. It's in your hands. Can you place it properly? You are in the house of God. I give 10,000 kwacha to my sister. I give 10,000 kwacha to Sister Silunga. Is the amount the same? Is the amount of money the same? It is. I've given you 10,000 kwacha. I've given her 10,000 kwacha. Is the amount of money the same? Visit them back after 6 months. Will the amount of money be the same? No. One of them, either it will reduce in amount, others it can even reduce to 5 kwacha or so. Visit them after 6 months. Again, it's possible one of them may double it to 20,000. You know it's possible, right? Why? What makes a person rich? It's not what you've put in their hands. It's what they have in the mind. One mind can destroy, another mind can build. One man can have boldness. One man can be so sacrificial, he sacrifices himself like an ox. An ox is a beast of burden. So he suffers for the cause of the kingdom. Another person can be so high, even in revelations, flying as high as an eagle. But without wisdom, you can lose everything in a moment. You've heard about people who were doing so well, they were so great, they did this and that, but at the end, everything collapsed. The face of a man was missing, maybe the wisdom. Ezekiel first mentions the face of a man.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, here is something. How crucial, how important is wisdom? Let us look at the story of Joseph. Let us go to the book of Genesis 41. Now, I know we know this story, but I want us to read it with a little more attention. We see how wisdom, not just some vision, not just some having a supernatural gift, but how wisdom, the wisdom gives to you as a human being, how important it is. Now, when I speak about wisdom, I'm speaking about the wisdom of man. So if a non-believer has it, it will work. If a believer has it, it will work. If a non-believer doesn't have it, his life won't work well. If a believer doesn't have it, no matter how spiritually anointed they are, things won't work well. I'm speaking about the wisdom God puts in humanity. I'm not speaking about gifts of the Spirit. I'm not speaking about the power of God. I'm speaking about that wisdom God put in humanity. Whether a person is a witch, if they have that aspect of humanity, the same principle will apply to them. Do you understand that? Now, if a person is a witch, rains begin. They take their seed, they sow it in the ground. Will it grow? Who causes it to grow? It's God, right? Will God say, this one is a witch, I won't cause his crops to grow? No. If another person is a believer, prays and fasts, very anointed, rains begin, they feel lazy to plant. They say, I'll live by faith. Will they survive? They won't. So we are speaking about wisdom which God gave to humanity. Now let us go to Genesis 41. We shall read from verse 1 to verse 8. I want us to see how spiritual gifts interact with the wisdom God put in you. The two need to work together. Now let us go to Genesis 41 and verse 1. This was in Egypt. I want you to know one thing. Egypt was like other countries. The way Zambia is, there's also Botswana, there's Zimbabwe. It was one of the countries. But something happened. The Pharaoh was the leader of Egypt. In Genesis 41, we read, "And it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamt, and behold, he stood by the river." So this leader of the country, he has a dream. A dream is supernatural. It's not wisdom of man. A dream can be a gift, a spiritual gift. It is something which is supernaturally imparted to you. Correct? Okay. So Pharaoh saw something. "And it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamt, and behold, he stood by the river." What did he see? Verse 2. "And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the middle." So Pharaoh sees seven cows. They arise. "And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke." What a terrible dream. He sees these thin cows. They started following the other seven which were fat. And the thin ones began to eat the fat cows. And he woke up, feeling confused. Says, "Hey, what does this dream mean?" And then another dream followed. Let us read what this dream was. "And he slept and dreamt the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprang up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream." So again, he saw corn growing, and there were 7 ears of corn, looking good, looking nice. Then there were 7 other ones which were not looking good, and they ate up the other 7, and he was confused. What does this mean? Joseph was brought. Joseph had a gift of interpretation. Is that right? He was brought before Pharaoh. Now, listen to what Joseph said. So let us now go to verse 25, and we shall read up to verse 36. "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one," meaning both dreams you had about the cows and about corn, they're speaking one thing. Now listen. "God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." God hath shown Pharaoh what he is about to. Who will do this thing? God. Many times we think God only does things which are nice and favorable to us. But here Joseph says, God is showing Pharaoh what he is about to do. What God himself is about to do. What is this thing? It wasn't a nice thing. Now listen. Verse 29. "Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land." And the famine shall consume the land. This famine will destroy the land. Who will consume the land? Who will cause this thing? Is it the devil?
No, God.
God. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Now, if God is about to do something, can you fight it?
No.
You can't fight it. Verse 32. "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass." So Joseph says, you saw the same dream 2 times. Why? God has decided to do it. He won't change. So it is God who will bring about this thing. Now, if you were living in the time of Pharaoh, what would you have done as a believer? You would have said, well, God has spoken. There's nothing we can do. Let us prepare for the bad times. Now remember, the dream was supernatural. It's a supernatural God who was ready to bring about all this disaster. And Joseph said, it is God who is about to do this thing. That's what Joseph said. But now, what will you do? Now, here is where the wisdom of man comes in. Did you hear that? Verse 33, now therefore, now this is Joseph speaking. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out. Look out what? An angel? Look out a prophet? Huh? Let Pharaoh search. Let him find who? Angel Gabriel?
No.
Michael? A prophet? An evangelist? Let him look out what? Hello? Let him look out a man. Let him look out a man. Discreet and wise. And set him over the land of Egypt. So what was the answer to this problem caused by God, which was yet to come? What would be the answer? The answer will lie in a wise man. Did you see that? The answer will lie in a wise man. A man who is wise, a man who is discreet. You know, a man who is discreet is someone who is very careful. When he looks at a problem, he takes deep thought, he analyzes it. When he gives you the solution, it will hit the spot. That's a discreet man. What do we learn about this sense? When trouble falls upon man, God always provides a way out, a way of escape. It is God who was bringing trouble upon the land of Egypt, yet the same God knew, I've thrown a problem. There is a way out, but it will take wisdom in man to find the solution. Do you see that?
Amen.
Joseph saw the dream and he started thinking, what can be the solution to this problem? And Joseph thought there will be need for a person who is very wise. What will this person do? And when he told that to Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, hey, who will be wise here? You, the one who has seen the dream. You, can you tell us what do we need to do? Now, Joseph could have said, it's God who is bringing this. There's nothing we can do. Now, do you know there are people with that attitude? They say, it was prophesied. There's nothing we can do. It will just happen. Listen to me. When trouble is coming, even if it has been prophesied by God, God always puts a secret way of escape for the wise,
Amen.
Those who are diligent to see how do we come out of this situation. That's what God always does. He never leaves people in a situation where they need to die without a solution. God always provides a way of escape. But to see that way of escape, you need to be wise. Yeah. Do you know that in Eden, Cain, he's a serpent seed, right? Bad, wicked man, right? But do you know that before Cain murdered Abel, God told him, there's something which is developing in your heart and it's not good. And God told Cain, sin is knocking at the door of your heart. And you've been given power to rule over that sin. In his ability, he had it in him to resist that wickedness. God told him, sin is knocking. And it's been given to you to rule over that sin. I want to tell you this. I don't know what problem you're going through. There is power of wisdom, of grace, God has put right inside you to overcome that. Now,
Amen.
When a problem comes, like the problem Joseph said, there is a problem coming, there is famine coming. Kuzankala njala, there won't be rain, Pharaoh. This is the problem. One man will say, it's our fate. There's nothing we can do. Now, you see, let us read Proverbs 20 verse 4. Proverbs 20 verse 4. Whatever challenge is before you, always remember God has provided a way of escape. But it takes a Joseph to see what are we supposed to do here. Yes, the trouble has been sent by God, but the same God provides a way of escape. He hides the solution. Only the wise will discover that solution. So Proverbs 20, verse 4. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now, who is a sluggard? A sluggard is a person who is lazy. Muntuau lazy. Who is slow. Now, Solomon says a sluggard, a lazy person, will see the cold. He says, it's very cold. I can't go to the to the farm to go and dig. It's cold. You know, the cold will make me sick. The cold will... He has every excuse. Now, is coldness good? No, it's not. No one enjoys coldness. But who sends coldness? It's God who has thrown things to in nature the way they are, right? But Solomon here says, the sluggard will not plow, and he will have a reason why he can't plow. He will have a reason to say, I can't do this because it's cold. Because there's nothing I can do. There is a problem I have, and well, you know, I can just do it. And he feels that reason is good enough to prevent him from going to the farm. And what does he say? When now time of harvest comes, other people will be harvesting things. But the sluggard, he says, oh, I'm asking, help me with this, help me with that. What the sluggard doesn't know is, these people also, they saw the cold also. But did they sit down? No, they didn't. They knew that, okay, it's a cold weather. Maybe it's raining, it's very uncomfortable. But the others, they found a way to work around that situation. They still needed to plant and to harvest something. But the guy who was a sluggard finds himself begging. Problems will always be there. The question is, what will you do about it? What will you do about it? Let me share a little story of what happened one time. And in sharing this story, I want us to know that despite all the challenges, there will be a solution hidden right before you. We all can be here looking at around, but there will be another person with eyes who will see what others are not seeing. You know, in 1928, there was this scientist. His name was Alexander Fleming, Dr. Alexander Fleming. You know, these scientists, usually they research on something. They want to find out how something is. So what this scientist did, Dr. Alexander Fleming, he had a petri dish, and he gathered bacteria there. Okay, there was bacteria to Doyle. He put them there. These bacteria which can cause sickness and disease. He put them there. The people who are learned, they know the names of these things. And, well, he left the things there and he went for holiday. He locked up his room and everything, then he went for holiday. Now, you know, something started happening as he was away. There was a mold. You know mold? Which started growing on the plate. You know those things which grow when you leave maybe food unattended to this mold which can grow, right? Now, he noticed something. Where the bacteria was, a mold started growing. It started growing. Something started happening. Now, when he came back, oh, he says, this is the dish I left. But he noticed the place where this mold was growing, the bacteria stopped growing. The mold was killing the bacteria. Oh, he says, this is interesting. He says, when this mold is there, the bacteria is dying. He started thinking, oh, this is interesting. To cut the long story short, it was discovered that this mold kills bacteria. So today, when you are not feeling well, you say, my temperature is rising and all that. When you go to the hospital, they say, go buy penicillin. The penicillin you are taking, it's the same mold which Dr. Fleming's discovered. They've put it in form of a tablet. When you take it, whatever bacteria was growing in your body, that mold kills it. If you were the one who entered that room and you noticed, oh, this mold, would you have discovered the same thing Alexander Fleming discovered?
No, sir.
No. Alexander Fleming had a very observing eye. He says, let me pause here. There's something happening. He started writing some little notes. He began to investigate further. Another person would have walked in the same room. He would have observed nothing. Actually, If it was you, our sister says, hey, don't you, you would have straight away taken it to the sink and started cleaning it out. It takes a diligent man to see something others are not seeing. That's the wisdom of man. Let me share three secrets. We can call them secrets. Three ways or things that bring deliverance by the face of man. Alexander Fleming was a wise man. What made him wise? It's not like he had a special brain than the others. There was something in his character which is missing in another person. He didn't just come there and say, if another person would have moved there, he would not even have observed that the bacteria is dying. He wouldn't have observed that. But this man looked at the petri dish and he observed something. He says, this is not the way I left this thing. And his diligence made him to probe further. He says, okay, let me put another bacteria here. Let me see if the same thing will happen. He put it there. He noticed the same process happened. Wherever he's putting that mound, the bacteria dies. Today, the whole world, we appreciate and salute the work that man did. Why? He paid attention. Now, let's look at three things in the character of wisdom which can help us, which can protect us from trouble. If Dr. Fleming did not have it in his character to do what he did, today we'll still be dying of simple bacteria. But it took the attention of one man to protect humanity from dying. Now, he has saved a lot of humanity, but I'm speaking about you as a human being. There is something you can do in your life which will also protect you from certain things. Let's talk about these three things. Number one, plan or planning. You know, you will only observe something if you are interested and you are paying attention to that thing. You know why Alexander Fleming was able to discover something? Because that was something which he was always thinking about. He wanted to know this bacteria, how does it behave? Every day he was reading something about bacteria. You get the point? So when he leaves it on the petri dish, he's wondering what this bacteria is, how does it behave? He was able to do measurements, what size of bacteria he left there. Even when he went on holiday, although he discovered the medicine accidentally, when he came, he was able to observe something different had happened there. Why? It's not the first time he saw that bacteria. He had been planning about that. He had been observing that thing. He had been studying that thing. So any little change which happened, it caught the attention of his eye.
Amen.
You see, you can never succeed at something which you haven't planned for. You can't succeed at something you haven't planned for. Do you know why people who win a jackpot, like a win a lotto, I win a 10 million or whatever amount of money he has won. You know, many times you check all the statistics. People who win suddenly, they fail suddenly again. They fail to keep that thing which they've won. You find within a short time, he has girlfriends. Oh, he has started drinking. Oh, he's enjoying this and that. A little thing. So now when suddenly this money comes, yes, the money is a lot, but the wisdom is very little. He does not have the capacity to handle that thing. He didn't plan for it. Things we don't plan for, they rarely stay in our hands. They take flight. Can you see that? So now, God has put it in a human being to be able to plan, to be able to look at things afar and plan before those things come near. Only a human being has that plan. A cow, no matter how great or big it is, it doesn't know how to plan. It doesn't know about planning. Only human beings have the ability to see trouble coming ahead and they're able to do enough preparation. A cow may have that, but in a very limited way, or other insects and anything like that. But a man has a superior way to plan. Let us read Proverbs 22 verse 3. Proverbs 22 verse 3. I'll read it in the, is it the New Living Translation? A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So here the Bible tells us a person who is wise, they're able to see there is trouble coming. And because they've seen trouble coming, they take precautions. They put plans in place. Before that trouble comes, let me do this, let me do this, let me do that. They'll know that in the next few months, children are supposed to report for school. I'll need to pay for school fees. Okay, let me try to do this piecework, that piecework, so that when time for school comes, I'll be able to pay for school fees. A human being is able to do that. A human being is able to look into himself to say, well, right now, I'm 40 years old. In the next 20, 30 years old, I won't be able to continue with the employment that I have right now. When I get old, I won't be able to run the way I run. I won't be able to, even if I apply for a job, they won't be able to employ me because I won't have the same capacity I have right now. So what am I supposed to do today before that trouble arrives? So you find someone says, I think I can't just depend on my employment. Let me start a little business. When it grows, maybe I'll build a house. I'll put it on rent. So that the time I'm old and I'm unable to do certain things, I'll be able to enjoy income even when I'm not able to work. What takes that? You're able to see afar before a problem comes. You put certain plans in place. A wise man foresees a bad thing and plans today, so that when those bad things arrive, he won't get punished. That's the ability in a human being to plan. That's humanity. You don't need to have a spiritual gift to do that. Even a person in the world, if he has the same thoughts, he will live more comfortably when those troubles come. Why? It's wisdom of humanity. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Even a bird knows that, hey, before I settle down, let me put grass. Let me put something before I lay my eggs. It's able to see that if I don't do this, eggs will have nowhere to sit. You see that? It's only that a human being has that wisdom in a higher way, in a more advanced way. So when a bird does that, you don't say, well, it's so anointed by God. It is something which is in the nature of a creature that God makes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let us read Proverbs 21, verse 16 to 17, speaking about planning again. Proverbs 21 and verse 16. Brother Sulunga, you can read that for us. Proverbs 21, verse 16 to 17.
It says, whoever strays from the path of prudence comes to rest in the company of the dead.
Yeah.
17. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich.
Hey, did you hear that? He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Did you see that? He that loves pleasure. Amina konda kusobera. Eve chabe nitochita chita. He doesn't have time to work hard, to plan carefully. He that loves pleasure. When maybe they increase the salary a little bit, he wants to enjoy on pleasure. He uses the money on things which are not very helpful. He says, that man, he shall be a poor man. But you know what modern Pentecostalism teaches people? Someone will go and they'll tell him, you have a spirit of poverty. Come for deliverance. Look, there are certain things which follow the principles of life. If I receive an income and I'm not wise enough what to do with that, Solomon says, a person who loves pleasure, whatever little he makes, he wants pleasure. He wants to enjoy it. He wants to go shopping. He blows up everything. He says, that man will be a poor man. Solomon is able to tell your future, not because he has seen a vision or anything like that, but just by looking at your behavior in the present, he's able to tell where you'll be tomorrow. Why? Look what he says. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Now the man speaking this, he was among the richest people who've ever lived. He says, if a person loves wine, every time he wants to drink, every time he wants to have a cup, he says, he'll be a poor man. What do we see in this? Whatever resource God has given you, olokachepe bwanji, have the wisdom. How am I going to use this? How can I double it? What little investment can I make? That is humanity. That's the wisdom of a man. If I pray and fast every day, but I don't plan how my finances need to work, terrible things will happen in my life. It will just be a matter of years. You see that? Let's read more about wisdom. Proverbs 27, verse 12. Proverbs 27, verse 12. The scripture says, Proverbs 20, verse 4.
It says, Sluggards do not plow in season.
Mm.
So at harvest time they look but find nothing.
Mm.
5. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters,
mm-hmm.
but one who has insight draws them out.
Thank you. Counsel, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. So, there's a problem before you, and God has put that counsel, the solution. He has buried it right deep inside you. You see that? But now, how to draw out that for it to manifest? It takes diligence. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So there will be a problem, like the problem which was before Pharaoh. There's going to be hunger. There won't be rain, Pharaoh. Oh, everyone got worried. A famine is coming. The counsel, the solution, was buried deep in Joseph. He thought, he pondered, what can be the solution? With this problem, how can we save ourselves? Do you know what Joseph said? He says, Pharaoh, these 7 years when God has given us everything, when we have plenty, the years of the 7 fat cows, let every person who farms, aliyenza mena shanga kumunda, let us take 1/5 of it. Let us take a portion. Isankala, like people are paying tax. Every person who farms, we shall get a portion of what he farms. Let it be given to the king and let it be kept in the storehouse. Let it be stored. So whoever has a harvest, no matter how big it is, let us put a law. Let us put an instruction in the land. Whatever you harvest, a portion should be given to the king. Let the king keep that. It should never be used.
Amen.
So every person who was harvesting, they were now tax collectors, ZRIA coming. Can you bring a portion? It goes, it gets saved.
Amen.
That was the answer. That was the counsel. That was the solution Joseph provided. What was causing the famine? It was God. Yet God had hidden a way of escape. Who discovered it? Joseph. He says, no, there's something. Yes, it is sent by God, but God will provide a way of escape. That's what Joseph did. What happened? When the 7 years of famine started, the whole world, that region of the world, that land of Palestine, the Middle Eastern world, there was a bad famine. Rains were not falling. Other nations, including children of God, Jacob and his other 11 children, the famine never spared them. God did not say, no, Jacob is my prophet. This trouble spare him. When nature strikes, you need to seek God for wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, even as a child of God, it will slap you and it will destroy you. But you know what? Joseph was in the land of Egypt. God gave him wisdom. Even Jacob started sending his children to say, go to Egypt, you go buy food. Egypt now became a place which was known in the world to have food. You see that? All the other nations, all the people were flocking, going there for a solution, for an answer. Egypt became a superpower. It became powerful in the region of the world. Why? It had food supplies in a time of a crisis. Who provided the answer to that crisis? The wisdom which was deep in the mind of Joseph. May God bless you with wisdom.
Amen.
We are living in hard times in Zambia, but may God bless you with wisdom on what you need to do.
Amen.
Why? God provides a way of escape for his children.
Amen.
And when you discover that way of escape, it will even be a blessing to people around you. Even those who don't believe, you become a big shelter to them. Why? God has given you wisdom. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we need to plan. We need to have foresight to see what is coming. What provides that? It's wisdom. What did Jacob? What did Joseph say? He says, "Seek out a man who is wise, Pharaoh. Seek out a man." And Pharaoh says, "You are the one who has reviewed and interpreted this thing. You are the one who is wise. Give us counsel." You know what that did? It raised Joseph. Joseph became great. Pharaoh promoted him. He says, "You'll be second to me. Actually, you have all the authority I have. The only thing which distinguishes us is I'm the one holding the throne. But let every knee bow to you." Joseph was lifted up by God because of the wisdom he had. So out of a terrible crisis, don't see yourself falling. Don't see it. Say, it's God who has sent it. God raises his people in the midst of a crisis by the wisdom he gives them. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's look at another way in which the wisdom of man will prevent him from falling, will prevent him from disaster. We've talked about planning. Number two, diligence. Everyone said diligence.
Diligence.
Said diligence.
Diligence.
Now, what does it mean to be diligent? Let me give you a dictionary explanation. Diligent means to be constant in effort to accomplish something. To be constant in effort to accomplish something. Constant means whether today you are in a good mood or you are in a bad mood, you still feel, I need to work on this thing.
Amen.
Diligence means whether things have gone well or not, you know that this is part of my timetable. I need to do it every day. That means diligence. You've noticed that some people start a little business. Then when they make a loss, they say, this thing is not working for me. They want to do something else. That means the person is not diligent. Now, listen to what the wise man says about diligence. In the book of Proverbs 22 and verse 29.
Do you see someone skilled in their work?
Now, that's a question Solomon is asking. Can you read that, brother, again?
Do you see someone skilled in their work?
Do you see someone who is skilled? Someone who is... who's become very good at their craft, at what they do, whether it is knitting, whether it is business, whether it is a certain profession. When someone has been doing something over a long period of time, they gain skill. And now he's asking a question.
They will serve before kings.
Mm-hmm.
They will not serve before officials of low rank.
In King James Version, it says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" A person who is diligent in what they do, a person who is consistent in their effort and what they do, no matter how, sometimes it was discouraging, but every morning they woke up to do what they're supposed to do. He says, have you ever seen a person like that? He says, those are the people who one day they will stand before kings. What has made them stand before their kings? Their consistency is what has raised them to higher heights. Is that true? That is true. He says, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. He shall not stand before men of low status. That was the language of Solomon. Because in Israel, even at that time, there were certain people say, Uja, what does he do? He says, he is the one who plays music before the king. He says, where did he come from? He says, he started doing that when he was a little boy. He kept playing his harp. He kept playing his harp. Now today he plays before kings. You see, Solomon in another place says, it is your gift which will make you stand before great men.
Amen.
What do we learn from these words? How important is diligence? Your greatness in your calling, your expansion in your calling lies in your diligence. How consistent is your effort? If a non-believer is consistent, as long as he's a human being, he's a man, he will succeed in what he's doing.
Amen.
There are certain people, they are carpenters. When they make a door, everyone who works, he will notice, koma papa chiseko. Right? Eva kapanga chiseko. When he makes a table, everyone will take note of it. Say, whoa, who made this table? Another person will be a carpenter. When he does something, people will just, paliko table. They're even asking a table. They can't even see there's a table. Oh, there is a table there. You understand that? Another person who have hands, whatever he touches, everyone will take note that this thing was done by that person. What makes that? It's not a skill you develop in one day. It comes with consistency. It comes with learning. It comes with making mistakes. It comes with focus. It says, how can I improve my skill? I think, let me do that course. He already knows, but it feels like I need to improve on this. So they go, they do a course. Say, okay, I think I learned a new skill. As they do that, as they persist, well, people start taking notes. Say, no, that is different. There will be 100 carpenters, but when he touches, when he does the work, people say, tifuna uja, ana fakapachi tepaja. Why? There's a skill. Now, do you know that when God told Moses to build the tabernacle, do you know that God specified which people were supposed to make the curtains, which people were supposed to make this and that? God said, I have put skill in that man. He is very diligent. God had to pick people. Why? They were skilled. How does that come? Solomon says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? What business is that? I don't know what that business is. It can be physical business. It can be work of ministry. Work of ministry is also a business. Not in terms of money. It is work you are doing. How diligent are you? How are you giving your life to studying the scriptures? How committed are you in your calling? Whatever business it is, it requires diligence. And if there is diligence, that is what will take you from one step to another step. But if you see a person careless in the gift God has given them, they don't invest time, they don't invest prayer, they don't invest study, they don't invest spiritual exercise of evangelism and seeking out to God, that thing won't grow. It will remain stuck, it will remain stagnant. But seest thou a man who is diligent in his work? What does Solomon say? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Ask yourself, how diligent am I in the gift God has given me? Do you know that even in companies where we work, there are people, they're new in an environment. Before you realize it, they're promoted to this position. Before you realize it, they're handling this manner of business. And others will be saying, that one, they just like him. That one is just a bururu. That one is... Yes, those things happen. But do you know there are people who genuinely ascend to higher heights because whatever work they're given, they commit wholeheartedly to it. Amen. When they step in a place, you will see excellency in what they do. They don't want to do something below standard. They'll commit their efforts to it. See, if you are a believer, wherever you are working, be a presence of excellence. Amen. When people see you, they say, he doesn't like shoddy work. Be that kind of a character. Where a believer is, let us be diligent in everything we are doing. Amen. 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 Let us not do things so that my boss sees. A person who is diligent, they work 101% as though someone was watching them. Why? They love what they do. Whatever they do, they believe this is an opportunity God has given me. Whether it is business, it's God who's given you that opportunity. Whether you are working, I don't know what work you are doing. Whether it's someone else who's employed you. No matter how bad they are, how unfair they are. Don't say, my boss is not fair. Listen to me. Read the story of Joseph. Amen. Joseph was employed among non-believers, the Egyptians, pagans. Did he say, these are non-believers? And he was always complaining, Lord, why did you bring me here? My brothers sold me here. Lord, really, are you there? Is that the story of Joseph?
No, sir.
Wherever Joseph was, he worked with full diligence. When he was serving Pharaoh, he didn't say, this non-believer. No, Joseph believed, wherever God has put me, this is where his will is. And he served Pharaoh as though he was serving God. Even when bad things happened, they lied. Remember what Potiphar's wife did? Accused Joseph. If you were Joseph, what would you have done? You would have been complaining before God. Lord, why me? You know, Lord, I'm innocent. Now look, this evil woman did this. You would have been gossiping to everyone. It's not me who did it. It's not me who did it. Is that what Joseph did? No. The God who sees in secret is the one who rewards us before men. Whatever unfair things are done to you, don't take it in your hands to revenge. God watches you. God sees the effort you put in, even if another man doesn't appreciate it. Joseph, he was thrown in prison. Did he start whining in prison and say, Lord, oh God, deliver me from prison? No. When he was thrown in prison, he continued. In that prison, two other people were put in there who used to serve Pharaoh. They were thrown in there. Now they committed, even Vanashta Milandro, they were thrown in the same prison. And you know what? They thought they were bigger than Joseph. And they had dreams. Did Joseph say, I won't tell them what it means? He still respected them. He knew that although we are in the same prison, these were my big bosses. They were senior to me out there. I'll still respect them in prison, right? When they had dreams, he told them what the dreams meant. Joseph was a kind of a man, wherever he was, he served God diligently. He didn't complain. Do you know that it was God testing him? Before God can make you a ruler of a nation, he wants to see how you behave in prison. He wants to see how you treat your fellow prisoners. Joseph did not behave in an unruly way to say, hey, ndime mwamene mwenze nipanisha kuja kunja. Manje still in prison in Moses. Still in prison in Moses. No. He respected those people, although they were also prisoners. He served them. He prayed for them, probably. And you know what? Those men, a time came, they were released from prison. And exactly the way he interpreted the dreams to them, that's what happened out there. One man was hanged. The other man was serving Pharaoh. Exactly the way Joseph had interpreted the dream. Amen. Now, do you know when now Pharaoh had a dream? It was that man who was released from prison who said, Pharaoh, there is a man who saw your hand in the way you made decisions before you made those decisions. There is a Hebrew slave. And the Hebrews were downcast. They were not treated well. He says, but he has a gift. What brought Joseph before the great man? Was it because he was looking handsome? Was it because he had many qualifications? No! It was his gift. Amen. What made that man mention to Pharaoh that there's a young Hebrew boy? I believe Joseph behaved right to that man when they were in prison. That's why he was able to mention there's a young man, there's a Joseph. He can do this and that. You don't know whom the Lord will use the next day to lift you up. Amen. Respect every human being. No matter how bad they are to you, be a believer. Be a child of God. Be good. Be loving. Be kind. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen. Tomorrow, Joseph was brought. We've heard you have a gift. Joseph did not say, yes, you know, actually, I'm very gifted. You know what he answered Pharaoh? He says, Pharaoh, it's not that I'm gifted. It is God who gives this ability. And it is God who gives the word. It's not about me. I'm nothing. And he went ahead and says, Pharaoh, God is showing you there will be 7 years of plenty, but the bad days are coming. And Pharaoh, don't worry. God provides a way of escape, even when disaster is coming. Just choose a very wise man. He didn't even speak about himself. He says, there must be someone wise. Choose someone who is very wise. He'll be able to work out a plan on how we can be protected from this. Pharaoh says, who else? You, promoted in one day from the dungeon, from the prison house, lifted up to be the man who stood next to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you have all my power. Me, I'll be powerful, yes, on the throne, but when I'm not there, every knee to bow down to you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know why God was able to trust Joseph with that? Other people who saw Joseph, others were complaining, how can he take a Hebrew slave? Abuela Chabe, he's promoted today. You don't know the story of Joseph. You don't know how he suffered, how his brothers sold him out. You don't know that part of the story. Usually when God lifts up a man, a lot of people, they only see the coronation day when someone has been lifted up. They don't see the years of toil. They don't see the years of tears. They don't see when these brothers betrayed him. They don't see the funeral Jacob had. They don't see that story. But do you know that what made Joseph a ruler? It wasn't just that dream. It was God. God tested him. God tested his faithfulness when he used to be kept by his father Jacob at home. All his 11 brothers, they would say, let us kill one of these sheep. Teko shokas, you know, no one should tell father about this. his brothers were not faithful. It was in their behavior. God looked at them and says, no, they can't rule. But Joseph, the Bible says, he would tell his father, no, daddy, these guys, they killed one of the sheep. And his brothers hated him. Let people hate you for the right things. Amen. Whether it is at your workplace, whether it is in your family, be known for integrity. Amen. Be known that you don't tell lies. You don't side with wrong things. You see, integrity is tested not when things are right, but when things are very tempting. That is when you test the integrity of a man. How is your commitment treated? You see, when I'm in Lusaka, I can easily say, you know, I'm committed. Every day I'm in a church service. Simply because my house is next to the church. But you know, when commitment is tested, it is committed when you have to travel a very long distance to come and minister to very few people.
Amen.
Commitment is tested when you are able to preach to 5 people the same way you can preach to 100 people.
Amen.
That is when our character is tested.
Amen.
Joseph's character was tested when he was just in a poor family of 12. When he saw, no, what my brothers are doing, this is not right. Our father sweated to buy these animals and they're just killing without telling. They said, no. Yes, I'm part of the family, but I won't be part of this thing. That is integrity. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The brothers teamed up, sold him out. He didn't say, is God with me? I was serving God, but look at what God has rewarded me with. A true believer is like an ox. They don't just choose good things. You know an ox? Remember, it was another face of those 4 living creatures. An ox takes the yoke on it. It even puts its neck like that. You put a yoke on it. It's willing to carry burdens. Joseph was willing to take a yoke when things were not favorable. He just says, well, it's what God has provided. When he was sold as a slave, he did his work as a slave diligently. God was watching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God was watching when he took that yoke and gladly accepted. He says, it's God who's made this possible. Joseph did not waste time saying, I bind you, devil. Devil of poverty. I bind you, devil of slavery. Look here, when you are a child of God, why do you spend time talking to the devil? Children of God, our covenant is with God.
Amen.
Even when a devil or a witch throws something, I'll never waste time talking to a witch. I'll take time talking to God. Because he's the one who is my protector.
Amen.
Look at the life of Job. Job, a lot of problems fell upon him. He lost all his children in one day. He lost all his animals. But all the prayers of Job, he never mentioned the devil, not even one time. Job only had conversations with God. Lord, where have I done wrong? Lord, where? Because he's the one I'm in relationship with. So when I see something wrong, please stop wasting time. I bind you, devil. I cast you, devil. I do this, devil. The devil is already defeated. He was defeated on Calvary. Don't waste your time talking to the devil. Spend time saying, Lord, whatever, why you've allowed this situation, may open my eyes so that I may see what you're trying to teach me. And when the devil sees you don't spend any time on him, he knows you have no business with him. When you go through trouble, please don't waste your good, precious time talking to the devil. Spend time speaking to the Lord.
Amen.
Say, Lord, open my eyes. What am I supposed to do? Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. Why? You are in covenant with God. Don't waste time. I bind this. I pray dangerous prayers. The devil is not powerful. The only strength the devil gets is the strength you give him. Is the attention you give him. That's the strength of the devil. It's the attention you give him. That's what strengthens the devil. Look at how Jesus related with the devil when the devil came. Hey, if you are the Son of God, Jesus was just speaking scriptures. And in the end, he just rebuked him, please, get away from here. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
There's a Joseph in you. But will you be faithful? Will you stand? Will you praise God even when things are not favorable? Until later on, from a prison, even those who were his seniors, they now bowed to Joseph. When Joseph had that character, God had tested him. God will never crown us before we are tested. His crown has value. You see, when you look at the people in the world, if you are an MP, a member of parliament, Today you can be fornicating. You can be committing adultery. If people vote for you, tomorrow you'll be called honorable. That's not how God works. Honorable has to be in your character, and it is developed through time. Joseph went through terrible times. And when he was king, when people did him wrong, he knew how to forgive them because he knew. He went through how pain feels like. Right? When his brothers came, they didn't even recognize him. They just came now. So we've come to buy, you know, there's a famine in our land. Joseph looked at them and he saw them. Those are my brothers. The ones who sold me in slavery. Those are the ones. Did he say, now it's time for me to show vengeance?
No, sir.
He did not have it in his character. God worked on him. You understand that? There are certain things God won't give you until you have it in your character to embrace everyone. Until you have it in your character to forgive. Until you have it in your character to be higher than all the pettiness of other people. That is God's calling. Before you do a thing on another person, think about how God is patient with you. God, do you know God is very patient with us? Very patient. May you have it in your heart.
Amen.
There are people at your workplace, maybe they're not favorable to you. They do bad things and all that. Be a child of God.
Amen.
Let your character convert them, not the word you are trying to preach to them. Your character preaches a more powerful sermon. Praise God.
Amen.
Mm. Let's speak about the last thing. We've talked about diligence. You need to be diligent. In your own time, read Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's what Joseph did. Whatever work he was given, whether it is planting flowers, Joseph did it diligently. Brother Silongo, just read Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. Whatever work Joseph was given, he did it diligently. Whether it is planting flowers, he worked as a good garden boy. Whether it was serving before Pharaoh, he served it with gladness. He wanted to do excellent work. I believe in a God of excellence. Eh? Do it diligently. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10.
Read.
Yes.
Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might.
Mm.
For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom.
Amen. Whatever opportunity God gives you, whatever work you are doing, don't say, oh, my work isn't so nice, and do it with all your heart. When God sees you are diligent, he will lift you. Let us look at the third thing. We'll conclude with the third thing. Another way in which the face of man manifests itself, it's through discernment. God has put discernment in a human being, in mankind. Animals have their discernment, but our discernment is higher. Discernment, we understand what it is, but let us read Proverbs 13, verse 7.
One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth.
Amen. Now, let me read it in the King James. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Oh, this is a sad state of affairs. A person who makes himself look like he's rich, but actually when you look closely, he's a poor person. Oh, in Lusaka we have a lot of people like that. We have young people, they earn a salary, a little salary, but you know, they buy an expensive suit, they want to drive an expensive vehicle, they want to look rich. Mm. But at home, there's no food. Why? He wants to make himself look rich, but yet he is poor.
Oh.
But you know what? Solomon again says, there is also a person who is rich, but makes himself poor. Someone, he's supposed to be rich actually. If only he can or she can open the eyes. The person has a lot of potential. There is so much wealth and rich, but the person is actually poor. May we not be like that.
Amen.
May we not be like that. Let me give you an example. You remember that woman whom Abraham chased from the home because she started disrespecting Sarah? And she went in the wilderness and all the water she was given finished. She had a baby. The baby started crying. The baby wanted water. And now she had nowhere to go. She was in a wilderness. No water. She started crying, "Oh, now I think I'm dying." And the Bible says she took the baby, put him aside so that she didn't want to see how the child would die because there was no water. She started crying, "Oh, I'm suffering. Oh, I'm in problems." Then the angel appeared. What did the angel do? He says, "Hey, look behind you. There's a stream of water there." Amen. The angel didn't go there to create water. The water was actually already there, but the woman was blind. She couldn't see there was a solution right beside her.
Amen.
May we not be like that.
Amen.
Because there's trouble, but there's a way of escape. There's a solution. We can only open it when that angel comes to open our eyes.
Amen.
And I've come to open your eyes. I don't know what trouble, I don't know what situation, but there's a stream of water. You just need to open your eyes and see that God can give you the grace to see that.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
May our eyes be opened. May we not be people who are rich. God has put so many things in our hands, but we look around. We see another person who doesn't have, and we think we are like those people. May you see the blessing God has put around you. May you see what God has invested in you. May you see the riches of His grace. May you see the blessings of the message that God gave us. We are blessed to have a message in this day. God sent a prophet. God sent a message. We are so rich. We know so much. But yet, we can walk as poor people. We can watch what is happening in charismaticism, sometimes even start admiring those things, forgetting the deep things God has given us. If only we can use the power of the message God brought in this day, oh, we experience great blessings. There are people who backslide in this message. It's not that the message they don't have. They have the message, but they can't see how rich it is. It can give them power to overcome temptation. It can give them power, oh, to preach and witness the word of God, where people can see the light of God. When we had a crusade in Rufunza and in Chatham, oh, God did great things. We saw things we never knew we could see. We realized, oh, so this power is in us. The power to pray for someone and they receive healing. The power to pray for someone and they get delivered from demonic oppression. Yes, the power is there, but you will never see how powerful it is until you take a step.
Amen.
You will never see what potential is in you until you take a step. That's why you say, oh, so I had this talent. So God can use me to do this. So God can bless me. Oh, so my business can actually grow. As long as you don't take a step, you won't see what is hidden in you. Some of you, by now, you were supposed to be owning businesses. But you know what? You've just believed my answer is in working for someone. There are people God has just blessed them in that area so that they are a blessing to the house of God. But you will never see it until you come out of your fears and you face it. You will never see the potential in you until you first take a step. As long as you're always afraid, you won't see it. There's one wise man, he says, if you are afraid of death, you are not worth living. If a person is always afraid to live life, to face the challenges of life, so they always lock themselves in some corner somewhere, that person is not worthy to be alive. Because life in this world requires courage. You need to face it. And when you face it, oh, you will see the David in you that is there to meet the Goliath. But if David wanted to be uniform with the fear of everyone, the testimony of killing Goliath would have never reached the ears of people. Everyone was afraid to meet Goliath. But David rose up and says, hey, I killed a bear. I killed animals which were coming up. The same God who protected me there, he's the one who made me meet this Goliath. He was able to remember the testimony in his life. If God that time blessed me, surely he can bless me on this thing again. That is why the Bible says, I will remember the testimonies of the Lord. It's a sin to forget your testimony. Because forgetfulness, it cripples strength out of your hands. But when you remember, suddenly you feel the strength of the Lord. Remembering is your duty. Because when you remember, something starts getting revived in you. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift which is in you. He didn't say, look out for a gift. Look out for a spiritual gift. The gift was already in Timothy. But Paul says, stir up the gift which is in you. You can have a gift but it is like sediments of sugar which have been thrown in a cup. You know, you can pour sugar in a cup, and once it settles, especially when the water is cold, when the water is very cold and you pour sugar in it, the sugar will go and settle at the bottom. You will drink the water, you won't taste any sweetness. You know what you need to do? Steer the water. Steer with a spoon. Steer. Another person will come and say, no, there is no sugar here. The sugar is there. It's not steered. There are certain gifts which are in our hearts. But you know, we even reach a point we think we don't have any gift simply because we've never steered. Do you know what steering means? Go in action. Then you see God using you. Because God will never put petrol or fuel in a car which is packed. He wants you to get in the car, ignite the engine, then God says, okay, now let me put fuel. I want you to go to such and such a place. Do this and that work. But if we are just seated, some of us, we are friends. We've never ministered the word of God to them. Evangelism doesn't mean let's speak our Bibles, let us go door by door. Evangelism is where you work. Evangelism is that relative you have. Have you ever told them to say, hey, I was blessed last Sunday, the preaching was so good, please, let's go together. You begin to pray and fast for that person. Lord, show them the light. Lord, let them see the word of God.
Amen.
You see, God begins to show you dreams. He begins to show you what is wrong with their life. Then say, hey, I dreamed this, and says, hey, Chiloto Shamene Mwakamba, it is God speaking to you. Then you begin to realize, so God can use me like that. You see, God will never reveal something to you of which you are not concerned about. God only shows things we are concerned about. If you take someone in prayer, God will open your eyes and begins to speak to you. Before you realize it, our gifts would have been steered up and we'll see the power of God. But you see, you are a man. And being a man, you were made in the image and likeness of God. God gave you choice. Meaning there are certain things God will never force you. You have to make a decision. The decision to be diligent, the decision to become consistent at what you're doing, the decision to say, I'm not supposed to be asleep, let me wake up, I'm supposed to be praying. The decision to say, let me work out a business plan. What business do I need so that I can start earning an extra income which can help my family? There are certain things, they reside within the realm of you making a decision as a human being. And when you take your first step, God will say, okay, I can see you are drawing near to me. Now I'll draw near to you. There are certain things, it's you as a man to make a decision. Because God gave you choice and he loves that interaction for you to make decisions. For you to say, Lord, I need your hand. Shall we stand?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we are still learning Kapiri. In case I would want you to do something for me, you look out for any decent house which can be on rent, where when in case Lusaka believers want to come and be here for a week, maybe 2 weeks, they'll be able to be in that house. Will we help each other?
Amen.
Okay. A good, decent house. You can mention what are the different prices for these houses. But let's look out for a good, decent houses where if 5 people, 6 people, 7 people come, they will be able to keep up there. At least it will be a home we can call, this is our home.
Amen.
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 So we'll take one step at a time the way the Lord is leading and guiding us. Because we don't want just to be meeting on Sunday. Okay? We want to know how is Kapiri. Okay? If we are to have a crusade, where can we have it?
Amen.
But we can only know those things when we come here, we stay during the week, we learn the language of the people, you know, and that way I want to know where my brother stays. I want him to come and visit where I am. Not just meeting here. But we're doing one step at a time.
Amen.
And God will help us.
Amen.
Yeah, God will help us. Amen. So may God bless you.
Amen.
Our elder will give a word of prayer and will close. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.